Black gold gushes green.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Oil is down for the third day in a row, a little below $72 a barrel. Of course, not everyone's angry about this price black gold is commanding. It's earnings season for companies in the oil business, and as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, they're in the money.
ExxonMobil, the world's largest publicly traded oil company, reports earnings today. No surprises expected there. High oil and gas prices have created a bonanza for the companies that produce them. Number three oil company ConocoPhillips saw profits rise 13% in the first quarter, the highest jump in 4 years. But some have been asking, if they're so flush with cash, couldn't the oil companies give us a little break?
That's really not of their nature. They're a corporation, and their role is to make as much money as they can.
Jeb Armstrong is an analyst at Argus Research. He says companies pay out in plenty of other ways. Last year, he says, Exxon paid something like $100 billion in taxes. Armstrong says it's demand that's driving up the cost of oil, particularly from developing economies like India and China. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Now, as pump prices rise, politicians are kicking into gear. Several ideas are floating around D.C. Senate Republicans want to send out $100 gas rebate checks to every American taxpayer. One Democrat wants a 60-day gas tax holiday, which could shave almost 20 cents off every gallon of gas. And the Senate Finance Committee asked the IRS for the tax returns from big oil to see what sort of tax breaks the companies are getting. The U.S. and Canada may have pulled off an 11th-hour deal to end their nasty dispute over Canadian exports of softwood lumber to the U.S. The U.S. had slapped tariffs on Canadian wood. Today was the deadline for the U.S. to take the battle to another level. From Toronto, Steve McNally has details of the deal.
Under the deal, Canada would give up its claim to $1 billion in lumber duties collected by the U.S. It would see a cap on its share of the American lumber market, and it would have to keep its lumber prices in line with U.S. prices. That led many Canadian lumber producers to say the price of peace is too high.
There's no justification given at all for leaving $1 billion behind.
Carl Grenier of the Free Trade Lumber Council says their industry shouldn't have to pay to improve Canada-U.S. relations, especially when NAFTA panels have found no fault with Canada's export practices. He says there's a rough ride in store for Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper and his negotiators.
From the looks of it now, I doubt that this will be accepted.
Canada's largest province, Ontario, was quick to label the deal a sellout, and lumber producers say they may work around the treaty deal in the courts. In Toronto, I'm Steve McNally for Marketplace.
Here's a sign we might be getting a bit more practical. A new survey shows more people are using their tax refunds this year to cut their debt instead of going on a buying spree. America's research group says we're using as much as 50% of our refund checks to pay down debt and pay off credit cards. And on Wall Street, the Dow was up Wednesday 71 points to 11,354. The NASDAQ was up 3 to 2333, and the S&P was up 3. This is Marketplace. Want to get steamy with your cell phone? Rachel Dornhelm explains how one company wants to bring you wireless romance.
That could be love calling. Or texting. Romance novel Giant Harlequin is teaming up with mobile content provider Vocell for a chapter-a-day service subscribers can read on their phones. There are other features, too, like celebrity polls and a 6 degrees of kissing game. Marketing analyst Neil Strother says the product fits with a new trend called wireless snacking.
I've got 5 minutes here at a doctor's office, 10 minutes here at waiting for kids at a piano lesson or whatever that they're... That's the opportunity here is when people have time to kill.
In case you're curious, when it comes to cell phone carriers, love is blind. The new service will be available to romantics on all major providers. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic. Alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. There's a new Federal Reserve study out on what will happen to economic growth when the baby boomers retire. It's called The Recent Decline in Labor Force Participation and Its Implications for Potential Labor Supply. Now, that may sound like a snoozer. I asked Chris Farrell why it's getting a lot of attention on Wall Street.
In a very simple sense, baby boomers, you know, they're hitting 60, and there's a smaller group of people behind, and so we're just going to have fewer workers to be doing the work that needs to be done. Baby boomers are more educated than any population in history. They are healthier than any population in history. And the economy has changed in ways that there are fewer and fewer people who are working that sort of backbreaking work in a factory or in a mine. And instead, we live in a white-collar economy. We live in a service sector economy. So more and more people are working with computers, and therefore they can do work. They can stay mentally agile. They can stay part of our work society. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And if you look at this study, this pessimistic study, it says, you know, if older workers continue to work and they stay healthy, you know, none of this that we're talking about may come to pass.
It's interesting. I'm on the very tail end of the baby boom, the younger end of it, and I can't imagine ever being able to retire anyhow. Yet I don't know who's going to give me a job in 20 years from now, assuming I'm not working here, of course.
I think that's right. I mean, we're going to be working for two reasons. One reason why we all work right now is financial. I mean, you have to pay the mortgage, you have to meet the bills, you do want to eat. The financial part of the equation is not going to change. I think the other part of it, and we all know this, is work is a big part of our social life. It keeps our mind engaged. And that's the part of work that more and more people are realizing is important. They may not do the same job, but that doesn't mean they don't want to work. They may want to work in nonprofit community, volunteer community, try a different career, start their own business. And so I think that's really going to continue, and that's what's going to define the economy of the future. The problem is you got a bunch of employers out who are working also with an old model, and I think the 50-somethings of today are just at the wrong place at the wrong time. If you're laid off in your 50s, this is a harsh economy.
Yeah.
You want to look at who is long-term unemployed? It's the people laid off in their 50s. They are devalued. My suspicion is by the time that you are hitting your 50s and early 60s, you're going to be an extremely valuable worker because there's going to be a recognition. One, we need to hire you. Two, you have a lot of experience. And the fact that you have a lot of knowledge and our economy changes a lot, you know, we're gaining all kinds of insight into how older workers actually can learn a lot of new skills. Older workers can tap into their experience. So I think you're going to have a vastly different experience than the 50-something worker of today.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Used to be you'd spend your whole life working for.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.